I want to welcome you to the Boone's Mill Church worship service this morning. We say welcome to our church family and friends, and for visitors, for those that are out in the Sunday school room, for those that are in the cars for the drive-in service, for all of you, we want to welcome you. I have a hard question to ask you this morning as we begin this message. Are you afraid of dying? The Bible tells us that God always finishes what He starts. Always. God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished, the Bible says. Now, it doesn't say God might finish it. It doesn't say God hopes to finish it. It says God will finish it. And what does that mean? It means if you have already given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've actually let God be God and said, Christ, I want you to be number one in my life, I want you to be my Lord, then you are going to make it to heaven. There's no doubt about it. The case is closed. It's a done deal. It's finished. You are going to make it to heaven. Because it doesn't depend upon your performance. It depends upon God's sustaining grace. It's not about you. It's about God. How can we be sure we're going to heaven? Because of God's sustaining grace. Last week we started a new series of messages that I'm calling All Have Sinned, But There's Grace. And this is an 8-part series of messages to help us to understand the many expressions of grace, so that we can experience God's grace, so we can experience the joy that God wants us to have in Him. Now, last week we looked at God's saving grace. God doesn't just want to save us. He wants to sustain you through life. He wants you to make it well through life. And today's message is about God's sustaining grace. What is sustaining grace? Sustaining grace is the power to keep on going when I feel like giving up. Do you ever feel that way? The U.S. enters the 9th month of the pandemic with more than 7.4 million confirmed cases and more than 209,000 confirmed deaths. That's just in the United States alone. Multiply that by many times to find out what's going on through the whole world. But this toll in the United States has been enormous. Every day, the case count rises by around 40,000 new cases, and the death toll, it is around 800 a day. And it's hard to just listen to the reports anymore. Try to avoid the news, it seems. But sustaining grace is the power to do the right thing when you don't feel like doing the right thing. There are many pitfalls in the race of life. We are seeing things that we've never had to face before. We're going to talk about those pitfalls this morning. But regardless of what you go through, no matter what you face this year, you can count on God's sustaining grace being there with you. Now, in 1 Peter 5:11, from the scripture lesson we read, My purpose in writing is to encourage you and assure you that the grace of God is with you no matter what happens. No matter what happens. God's sustaining grace is going to be with you. It's going to be there. You can count on it. There are three things in life that can cause you to stumble from accepting or receiving or living out this verse. There's three things that can cause you to get off the path, that can cause you not to finish well in life. But God's sustaining grace says, I will help you in each of these three situations if you let me. Now, the first one is I can count on God's sustaining grace to help me keep on standing when I'm tempted not to. Temptation is the first thing that causes you to stumble. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, watch out for attacks from the devil, who is your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for some victim to devour. In other words, Satan wants to destroy you. Take a firm stand against him, and so be strong in the faith. Now, you may not realize this, but the moment you became a believer, a battle starts in your life. Satan wants you to fall out of grace. You are faced with moral choices. Am I going to do right or am I going to do wrong? Am I going to do what's good or am I going to do what's bad? You have to face that every day, moment by moment. Am I going to be selfish or am I going to be unselfish? These moral choices are called temptations. And the Bible says we are all tempted. Everybody is tempted. You will never outgrow temptation. They come to you every day. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, the temptation that you have are the same ones that all people have. But you can trust God. He will not let you be tempted more than you can stand. When you are tempted, God will also give you a way to escape. Then you will be able to stand it. You see, this is God's sustaining grace. No matter what comes to you, in Christ, you will have the power, you will have the Spirit, you will have the way to overcome it. And this is terrific. It's a fantastic promise if you will accept it. God will provide a way of escape. So a second way God gives us His sustaining grace is to help us not to stumble and get off the path. Is God's sustaining grace helps us keep standing when I'm tired. Life is exhausting. It requires a lot of strength, a lot of energy to live life, especially when you're trying to do the right things rather than trying to do the easiest thing. We find that our country is in a grave sense of trouble because we and our leaders have been trying to do things the easy way rather than doing them the right way. Doing the right way requires energy and decision and sometimes to hunker down and buckle down. It requires effort and strength. The pandemic is now in its ninth month and uncertainties abound as fall and winter loom in much of the country. Cooler weather will gradually pack people into indoor spaces where the coronavirus more readily spreads under those conditions. Winter also typically heralds the arrival of the flu and other respiratory viruses in addition to the coronavirus. Schools reopening will have a huge challenge because of the winter. It's going to be tough. Do you ever get tired of doing what's right? Sure you do. That's because it's tough, moving against the flow, against swimming upstream. When all the culture is going one way and you're trying to do the right thing and it's going in another direction, it's tough to do what you have to do against the flow. The more you try to do what's right, the more energy it's going to require. But where do you get the power to do the right thing when you don't feel like doing it, or when you're dead tired? 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. It is God who gives us the ability to stand firm for Christ. He has identified us as His own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Those two, the Holy Spirit and standing firm, go together. Sort of like the children's story that Armin and I were talking about. In other words, the Holy Spirit inside of you helps you to stand firm. They go together. The key is the ability to not get tired and giving up and doing the right thing when you know it's the right thing to do, because you can do that if you're having the Holy Spirit in your heart. It will give you the strength. It's He who energizes you. It's not you in your own power. The key to the Christian life is not trying harder. It's trusting the one who has the power. It's letting Christ live through you, and He will give you the power you need. In Philippians 2:13, the scripture says, "For God is at work within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve His purpose." You see, when God gives you the will and the power to do something, you'll be able to do it. God never asked you to do something that He doesn't give you the power and the strength to do. There's another way God gives us sustaining grace. Third way is God's sustaining grace gives me the power to keep standing when I'm troubled. In other words, when I have problems, when I have difficulty, Jesus said, "In the world, you will have trouble." He said, "Brothers and sisters, expect it. Don't be surprised. Don't be blown away when you have trouble. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have obstacles. You will have situations that you cannot handle." He says, "I will give you the power." There are many kinds of troubles, but the most difficult problems in life to handle are the unfair ones. When you're innocent, you don't feel like you deserve this problem. You didn't cause it. Those are the ones that are hard to handle. And I experienced this just recently. I've been building a blacksmith shop at my home for the past 2 years, from the ground up, laying the stonework for the chimney, for the forge, trimming the logs, hewing the logs to go up the walls. And this past winter, I was ready to have a roof put on that shop. So I arranged with a contractor, because I had done everything in the building except getting up on the high-pitched roof. I thought that was going to be a little dangerous for me. And so I arranged with a contractor and waited through the winter. And then it was spring, and I was still waiting. I was told then that the roofing sizes I need were on back order because of the pandemic. So I waited. I waited till spring. Finally, summer came, and I was told the job would soon start. On the day the job was to start, the workers arrived and walked around the site a couple of hours, but there was no metal, nothing to do work with, and none was delivered, so the workers left the job site. I texted the roofing contractor, and I asked, "What happened? Why no work on the roof?" And he texted me back and he said the truck with the machine to form the metal roof could not get into my job site because of a construction ditch I had dug. So the job would have to be rescheduled. Don't know when. And I thought, what? What truck? No truck showed up. And I said, wait a minute. There was no truck at the site, so how could he know he couldn't get to the site in the first place? And second, you told me I was waiting all of this time because the roofing sizes were back ordered, but now you say actually the roofing will be formed on site by a machine that will be brought in, so there's no back orders to wait for. And I said, I don't think I've been told the truth. And he got angry. And he said, well, if that's the way you feel, you can just get yourself another contractor. I'm finished with you and with the job. And I said, what? What just happened? This was not my fault. Besides, I could have gotten someone else to put the roof on this past winter if I had known he wasn't going to do the job anyway. I thought, how unfair. And this was hard for me to handle. I was angry. So I took my hurt and I went to the Lord. And I asked in prayer, what should I do? And the Lord revealed to me what to do. I was to apologize to the contractor for my anger and mistrust of him about the job. So I did. It didn't matter who was at fault. What mattered was that forgiveness and kindness is the nature of God. It's God's grace. And it is loving others God's way that he asked us to live as his children. Okay. I get it. Because as I read God's word, God's ways are not ways of the world. The world would have said, well, it's his fault, then make him pay. But that's not God's way. God's way is the way of love. And often it's sacrificial love, even when it's not your fault. Now, most of us can handle problems if we can see the end in sight, light at the end of the tunnel. But there are some things in your life that hurt you, that harm you, that are unsolvable, that you're going to live with for the rest of your life. And nothing is ever going to change that. There are some handicaps or setbacks or some life situations you're never going to be able to change. And they hurt the most. What do you do in those situations? You need to focus on Jesus Christ. Focus on his sustaining power. The Bible says this in Isaiah 41. It says, don't worry because I am with you. Don't be afraid because I am your God. I will make you strong. I will help you. I will support you with my right hand that saves you. Now listen to all the things that God has promised to do for you in times when they are helpless. He says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to make you strong. I'll help you. I'll support you. I will save you. Well, that pretty much covers it all. There is nothing that we need to worry or be anxious about. God will be our refuge. He will be our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. God's got it covered. Now, if we just put our eyes and focus on the situation, we will feel that it's hopeless. But God sees that. If we put our eyes on Jesus, God will show us a way through. What do you do when you can't fix an unfixable problem? What do you do when you can't change an unchangeable circumstance? What do you do when you can't control something that hurts deeply in your life? You bow to the sustaining grace of God. Well, how do you get that? How do you get that kind of grace to keep going in spite of the temptations and the trials and the tension and the tiredness and the trouble? Here's four things I want to share with you real quickly. You call out for God's help. That's the first thing. Cry out to God. Cry out to God to help you. As long as you pretend to be self-sufficient, or you, when you do that, when you think you'll find a way to get through, you short-circuit God's power in your life. You need to admit your inadequacy. And you need to say, God, I can't handle this. And you cry out for God's help. The Bible says, God gives grace to the humble. So give yourself completely to God. Realize that you can't do it. You need God. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. Notice who gets grace. The humble. It's one of the saddest things I see in our country these days. You don't see humility when people deal with other people. Humility means that you treat someone as if they're better than you. Humility is you care about the other person more than you care about yourself. When we look at our country, we see that all kind of accusations and all kind of rude things and all kind of things are said about each other. And rather than looking and realizing the other person needs respect and needs to be cared for, all you hear is slander and degrading and blaming and not taking any action for what you do. That's not being humble, anything of it. It's being arrogant. Those who admit they can't do it on their own, those who are humble, you draw near to God and you cry out to God and you call out for God's help. That's the first thing that you do. The second way you get sustaining grace is keep going in spite of troubles. You fill your mind with God's Word. You know, I started a program, or at least I encouraged us to, for everybody to be reading through the Bible this year. That if we would read every day, that we could read through the whole Bible by the end of this year. How are you doing with that? I hope that you've been reading. Even if you're not on track to read through the whole thing this year, I hope you're reading some every day, maybe every week. Fill your mind with God's Word. Let the Bible comfort you. Let it strengthen you. Let it fill you. Let it soothe you. Let it give you the energy you need to keep going. Get into book every single day of your life. Get a modern translation if it's you find reading the Bible difficult, and begin to read it and get it into your mind. I know that in my prayer time when I went to this contractor and I said, I'm sorry. I apologize for what I said and the way I treated you. That was not my thinking within me. It was what I understand God would have me to do to be more like Him. And I got that from reading His Word every day. And I thank God that God will direct you if you are open and if you're willing to be like Him rather than to react to what we do humanly a lot of times. David prays in the Bible, I am completely discouraged. And he called out to God and he said, revive me, O Lord. Now, how was David going to do that? Was he going to go watch TV? No. Was he going to get on his computer and go to Facebook and see what people have to say about that? No. David said, Lord, revive me by your word. There's some advice going around today that is in every movie that you watch, that is in all the talk shows, it's in all the books that you read, and it is the standard that we find in this new age answer to your problems. And this advice is from these sources, is that the answer lies within you. Look inside yourself. What a lie. That answer doesn't work. It hasn't worked for 1,000 years. It didn't work 1,000 years ago. It doesn't work today. The answer is not looking within you. If it was, you'd already be changed. It doesn't work that way. You need to look to God. And He's the only one who can show you the way. He's the only one that can change you to go in the right direction. He's the only one who can help you. The answers are found in the Word of God. Here's the third way that you get sustaining grace to keep going in spite of trouble. You accept support from God's people. Do you know how important people at church are in times of crisis? Often people say, we wouldn't have made it without Christian friends, without our church family. The Bible says, by helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. And what is that law? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second greatest commandment, Jesus said. If you don't have some strong Christian friends, mature believers, and you're not in church where you can have some feedback and support on the crisis that you're going through, you will suffer greatly. God never meant for you to go through life on your own. We need each other, and that's why this pandemic is so hard, and we see a rise in suicide, and we see so much going on into the anxiety and strife in people, is because they don't have the support that they need. Because we were created by God to be in relationship with each other, and when we don't have those relationships, it causes great harm within our psychic and within our soul and within our spirit. You're not going to make it on your own. You need to accept support from God's people. And here's the last and the fourth way that you get sustaining grace to keep going in spite of trouble. You hold on to God's promises. God's promises. There are over 7,000 of those promises in the Bible waiting to be claimed. But how will you know them if you're not reading? How will you know what God's promises are if you're not in God's Word? Here's one of those promises in Isaiah 40. It says, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired. But those who hope in the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Why? Because if you keep your hope in the Lord, God will give you the strength. He promises that. Even more than that, keep your eyes focused on the hope of heaven, not just on here and now. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. If you only do that, you're going to be totally destroyed by your discouragement. But rather, you need to look forward to what you have not yet seen, the promises that God has given. For the troubles we see now will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. In heaven, there's going to be no problems. In heaven, there's going to be no sorrow. In heaven, there's going to be no sadness, no grief, no messed up lies, no tears. I open this message with a hard question. Are you afraid of dying? What's your answer? If it's found in the sustaining grace of God, it will have a different ring than what it often is just from a human point of view. God's grace will take away your fear and give you peace. When you're discouraged and feel like giving up, when you're being tempted, or you're tired and worn out, or you're going through trials and troubles that you can't fix, no matter what you're going through, if you will turn to God and God's grace, He will sustain you. And it will be all right. And you will have no fear. Paul said it this way. He said, I begged the Lord 3 times to take this problem away from me. But God said to me, my grace is enough for you. When you are weak, then my power is made perfect in you. And when you're going through a problem that you can't fix, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Look up. Look up. And let's do that now. I want us to look up to God in prayer. I want us to say that this prayer is for those who are discouraged, that this prayer is for those who struggle with guilt and shame, that this prayer, you may be dealing with financial concerns or dealing with unemployment or something you can't control. Let's take those concerns that might be on your heart now and let's go before God right now. Would you pray with me? Loving Jesus, you know every single need represented here today. You know our hurts and you know our fears. You know our struggles and you know our sins. May we experience your sustaining grace flowing down upon us by your Spirit today. May you wrap your arms of love around us and help us sense the freedom of your forgiveness that you so graciously give. And if there's anyone here who's never asked Jesus for his saving grace, I say, please say, I need you to save me, Lord. And then I need you to sustain me. I'm giving myself to you right now. Help me to fill my mind with your word. Help me to hold on to your promises. And thank you that I'm going to make it to the finish line in heaven. Not because of my performance, not because of even what I'm doing today, but because of your sustaining grace. I love you, Lord, and I want to trust in you. And I ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.